Hey everybody, just a quick word before we get started with episode 102 here. Remember, we're having a big, giant, spectacular podcast listener party here in the Greenwood neighborhood on June 30th, 8 o'clock p.m. at Naked City Brewery and Tap House. Please come, bring your family, bring your friends, and hang out with the Stack of Dimes, Sibling Rivalry, The MacGuffin Podcast, Grapes of Rad, Sean DeTore's Mixtape, and me, Aaron, of the Air Raid Podcast. We'll all be there. We've got shirts, posters, a bunch of stuff to give away. It's going to be a lot of fun. June 30th, 8 p.m. at Naked City Tap House and Brewery here in the Greenwood neighborhood. Let's do it. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Oh, hey.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 102.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
I'm not joking around here.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
Latina Fantastica.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes. 102. 102, everybody. We took a little week off there, you know, for those who didn't notice, for those who did, we'll get into the reason why here in just a little bit, but it feels great to be back. If you notice a little bit of difference in my voice, I have been sick again. Man, I'll tell you what, baby daycare is a cesspool of disease and illness. And my immune system is just hates me. My immune system just hates me right now. Not happy with the way things are going right now. Maybe it could be because I'm not taking a lot of vitamins. I don't know. Could it be like that? Coupled with doing a low carb kind of diet. You know, I'm just not getting the nutrients that I should be getting. Was talking to Thunder from Stack of Dimes yesterday about how I should probably just start taking a multivitamin. That'd probably be a good idea, right? Yeah, celebrated my birthday yesterday with some good friends, some great people. We went out to Din Tai Fung in Bellevue, a city that is just kind of across, it's east of Seattle. This great, great dumpling place. There's one in China, one in L.A., and now there's one in Bellevue, Washington, of all places. And it's just my favorite restaurant of all time. Went out with there and got a ton of food, and then ended up going and watching the UFC fights in this place called Lucky Strike Bowling Alley, which is like this game center and bowling alley. And it was free to watch the fight, and it was just kind of a weird place to celebrate your 32nd birthday.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
See? And now my daughter is super, super annoyed. we'll try to take care of that here in just a moment. But first, yeah, I said, we took the week off last week because I was basically on the verge of having a meltdown. I needed some time off. There were some cancellations kind of last minute for the show, and I didn't really have anything lined up. And then I get home. Here's what happens at the end of my day, right? I ride the bus back. I pick up the car from the transit center, which my wife has left for me over there, and then I go down to the daycare and I pick up my daughter, and then we drive back up home, and get my car into the garage. I get everything situated. I grab Tatum out of the car. And she gives me a little smile. And then I press the button on the side of the wall to close the garage door. And I walk up to the front door of our building. And I realize, oh, I left my keys in the ignition in the car, which is now in the garage. So I walk back over with Tatum to the garage. And I realize that I have also left the clicker for the garage In the car. So now my keys are in the car. My the garage door opener is in the car. And I can't get into the building, nor can I get into the garage. Right? So I call Mairead. Mairead, luckily, is about 5 minutes away. She's walking home at that point in time. And she gets home and lets us into the building. We get in. And I go, hey, honey, where is the where's the second clicker for the garage? And this is what she said. And I quote, well, the last time I saw it, it was in the car, which is locked in the garage with now both garage door openers. Great, right? Just fantastic. Now, there is one. So anyway, like, I'm searching around for the other clicker because there is a possibility that it's not in the car. It could be somewhere else. Now, this clicker does not always work, right? We have pretty much the first garage door opener that has ever been made, that it was ever manufactured. And this thing is just falling apart. It's just totally falling apart. And the little clickers don't work right, and you got to, like, smack them around a little bit to make them work. They don't even sell the batteries that that go inside these things anymore. So anyway, so I'm searching around frantically looking for this second clicker, and yeah, lo and behold, it is in the car, right? Now, there is one last thing that I can find that could possibly get me into the garage, and that's the emergency key to pull this little tiny plug out, and it's connected to like an emergency release, right? Some people have these on their garages. Well, come to find out, that key is on my keychain, which is still in the ignition, in the car, in the garage, with all the keys and all the clickers. So I call a locksmith. At this point, I am melting down. I am so annoyed, right? I'm so annoyed. And I may have, you know, kicked a couple of empty cardboard boxes that may have been in the hallway a couple times to vent my frustration with the situation, which now looking back on it, might have not been the best way to vent my frustrations in front of my wife and child. But anyway, yeah, so I did that. Called a locksmith. Locksmith comes out and proceeds to just wrench on this, like, this emergency, you know, keyhole, right? This little emergency lock, the plug that I can pull the emergency thing. Have I used that word enough in this in two sentences? He cannot get it. But finally, he broke off like two of his little lock picks inside this lock. He cannot, he's the worst locksmith ever. The worst locksmith in Seattle, right? He finally gets it to the point where he kind of unlocks it a little bit after drilling a hole into it. And he's trying to pull it out and it slips and the thing falls into the garage. Worst case scenario possible, right? So now we can't even get the emergency lever to pull because it's stuck inside the garage. It's just turning out to be a great day, right? It was a Thursday 2 weeks ago. And so finally I just go, well, you got a jigsaw? Because now the only way we can get into the garage is by cutting a hole in the garage door and climbing through. That's the last final option that we have. So we had to cut a hole into the garage and get in there and get everything. So annoying, you guys. So at this point, right, I'm just beside myself. I'm freaking out. Now I have to fix this hole in my garage. We went out, we bought a new garage door opener, and now we have this little nice little keypad code that we can get in without the clicker and all that good stuff. So crisis averted. And now I don't know why we waited so long, because garage doors, to buy a garage door opener and to get it installed is like, you know, $250. It's ridiculous. Why did we wait so long? That garage door that we had on there was literally the first one ever made, and it was just a piece, a total piece, and it was just falling apart, and now we have a new garage door. So that's why I decided to take a week off, because that led to a total meltdown. But I did keep up on my tweets. I did keep up on my tweets, everybody. Oh, man. We've got a great show planned for you today, guys. Thanks for bearing with me on that horrible story. Let's see. Brian from the band Tomten is going to be joining us here shortly. I had a great conversation with this guy. Wonderful, wonderful person. Let's see. Transplant, Seattle transplant from Carmel, California. Came up here and formed this band back in 2008. And they've been doing some good stuff here in Seattle. And they've got a new album out called Wednesday's Children. And it's really, really good. So I would urge you to go to their website where is it? God, I totally just lost their website. Anyway, go to you can go to their Facebook page, Tomten. It's T-O-M-T-E-N. And they also have a Bandcamp site. So you can find it. You can find all that stuff there. And I would urge you to get this album, Wednesday's Children. It's absolutely fantastic. You guys are really gonna like this. Really, really gonna like this. But had a great conversation with this guy. This guy Brian Noyce Watkins. Yeah, that's how you say it. It's good stuff. You guys are gonna enjoy this. I promise. So let's do this. Let's take our first musical break here. We're gonna hear something off of their new album. Yeah, let's see. This song's called "So So So" by Tomten. And when we get back, we'll be talking with Brian of the band about stuff. You're gonna enjoy it. This is Tomten, So So So. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay tuned. It's been a couple months. Have you yet become the people's king and succeeded your triumphs? I sent you with clear details on what you have to do. All right, we are back in Dining Room Studios. Joining me here today from the band Tomten, which you are listening to right now. This song is called So 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 off of the EP right? But it's off the main album too, right?
Yeah.
The new album out now in local record stores, and you can also find it at tomtonmusic.bandcamp.com and everywhere else, right?
Yes.
Yes. Just type in Tomten into a Google search or a Bing search, and you should come up with it. Brian,
hey.
From the band.
Nice.
How's it going, dude?
Oh, it's great to be here. It's going well.
Welcome to Dining Room Studios, my friend. Thank you so much for coming out. Let's see. New record.
Yes. It just came out Tuesday the 19th.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. So yeah. And you brought me an actual record.
Yes. No CDs.
I always love that. That's one of the reasons why I've started this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I was like, you know what? I would really love to get music for free.
It's a good way to get it.
Yeah. So I don't have to, I pay for nothing now.
Yes.
It's great. It's great.
And also I felt cool coming here on the bus holding the shrink-wrapped vinyl for you.
Yeah.
Like I was delivering a neat package.
Well, welcome, sir. Brian, what's your last name, man? I forgot to ask you.
Noyce Watkins. It's kind of a mouthful. It's like no.
Noyce Watkins?
Yeah, no,
one
yes.
One word?
Yeah, one word. No, yes, Watkins. But Noyce Watkins.
What is it? What is that? Where are you from?
It's my mom's last name is Noyce and my dad's last name is Watkins.
Oh, so it's hyphenated.
It was, but then I didn't like seeing that hyphen there. So I didn't.
Did you have to do that legally?
No, it's actually not legal. So
oh, okay.
I'm living a lie. But
so you get stopped every time you go to the airport.
Yeah. I have to put the hyphen in important places.
Right. So what's the background of that last name? What's the genealogy?
I think it's just British and Welsh and white. Yeah.
Just mainly just white.
Just Anglo.
Just straight up Anglo. Yeah. Were your parents from like America? Or?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be one of those people that's like, you know, I'm Danish and Swedish, and because I'm just a
potato
American,
farmers,
yeah.
Potato farmers from the old country.
Oh yeah.
Well, sir. So you guys are going. We were talking a little bit before we started the show. You guys are going through a little bit of a change up with the band.
Yep.
Losing a member.
Yes.
Yeah.
C'est la vie.
Oh boy. And so you were a quartet.
Yes.
Now you're going to be a triplet. Yes. Yeah.
A nice
a trio.
Dreamy triplet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How's that going to work out, man? Because the guitar player that left, right?
Yeah. It's fine. I think it'll be exciting to rework the songs. And then I'm also writing a bunch of new ones. And I'll just make a keyboard album.
Okay.
Lots of Mellotron.
Yeah.
And
Mellotron, what's that?
It's like an old, has tape decks under the keys. It's kind of like what you hear on Strawberry Fields Forever at the beginning.
Really?
When Paul's doing that. Woo, woo. Yeah, it sort of sounds like a...
So it's like a constantly like recording like
yeah, you
thing
can,
that you can slow down, like almost like an analog delay or something
like
that?
Yeah, like you can change the tapes. It was made for, I think, old people to have dinner parties with if they couldn't play the organ and they wanted to have a full band coming out of their instrument.
But oh,
they,
whoa.
It can do tons of stuff. It's like, you know, the Zombies album, Odyssey and Oracle?
I have no idea.
Oh, it's like they couldn't afford an orchestra, so they just had a Mellotron. And you can... It's cool. It sounds
so it has like a bunch of preloaded sounds on it or something.
Pretty
or?
Much. Like the old ones don't, but you can sample. It's kind of like the first sampler. Like you can mess around with it all you want.
Uh-huh.
It always sounds kind of dusty and spooky. And
oh, that's cool.
I really like that.
So is it kind of changing the sound? Because you guys kind of have like this old. I don't know. It's some of the music that's coming out of Seattle right now. I'm really digging it because it's got kind of that old 60s sound, you know, like a Pickwick's sound. You guys, Brian John Appleby has kind of got that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Was this kind of always the sound that you guys were going for or what?
Maybe I don't think we sat down and went, let's sound like a bunch of old guys.
But right.
I think it's all of my favorite records are from 50s through the 80s.
Yeah.
And I still like a ton of new stuff too, but I feel like I definitely, I'm kind of a old fart myself when I listen to stuff.
So how did this band come together? You guys, I read a little blurb here on your Bandcamp site. You guys all met at in college.
Yes.
Is that correct?
At Cornish.
At Cornish, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when was that? You guys...
That was 2008, and then we kind of messed around with recording everyone's songs. Everyone was writing songs. I wrote some, Lena wrote a few, Greg would write some. We made a 14-song demo of all of them, and then we kind of listened to it again later and realized that it didn't work, and...
Because like all the songs were different or something?
It was just,
or
yeah, it was
different
just
styles?
Too all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm glad we did it because then we kind of figured out what we wanted.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. So you're from California, right?
Yes. I'm from Carmel. California.
Carmel.
Carmel by the Sea.
Oh, yeah. I've totally been there.
It's a place where people go to die if they're rich.
Yeah. Just south of Big Sur, right?
North of Big Sur.
North of Big Sur. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, because like Monterey area.
But it was great growing up there because you know, drive to Big Sur and swim and climb things.
Yeah, climb things. Yeah. So what made you choose Seattle as a resting place?
School mainly, but then once I moved up here, I really liked it. And it's a good place to start a band and play shows.
Yeah, yeah. Were you in bands back in Carmel?
In high school, but it's what your high school band normally is.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing
in
the gym and wearing girls' clothes. And I did a lot of that. I'd like paint my face all the time and then realized that was probably not a good idea. But I remember I got...
You don't do that anymore?
No, I toned it down. I got in a car crash on a way to a show in high school when I had my whole face painted and I had yes written on my forehead and I was kind of a stupid jerk when I was in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember getting out of the car and I was in a daze and the guy I crashed into thought that I'd bled all over my face. And I was like, no, I'm just wearing a bunch of makeup and I have yes written on my forehead and I looked like a psycho. I don't do that anymore.
Okay, that's good. That's probably good for if you're in a car accident. You really don't want to look like a zombie.
Yeah, or
a crazy person.
Definitely get blamed for it.
Yeah,
it's not your fault.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Where was everybody else from?
Lena.
Were they transplants as well?
Yes. Lena's from Santa Monica.
Uh-huh.
She came up for the same reason I did for school.
Yeah.
Greg's from Tri-Cities.
Oh, okay.
Jake, our drummer, is from Edmond, so he's pretty much the...
Yeah, he's
the
local.
The Seattle boy.
He's local, yeah. Edmonds is a little bit north, for those of you listening in Brazil, a little bit north of Seattle here. So, how did it all kind of get started? Did you guys have classes together or something, and then just figured out that you had similar interests, or what?
I met Lena first, who plays bass, and So is her song. That's the one she sang on. I met her on the orientation cruise on Lake
Orientation Union. Cruise?
Yeah. You're supposed to fly up there with your parents and go on this little boat trip to mingle. And I didn't...
Like an Argosy boat or something like that?
Yeah, Spirit of the Husky or something.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I didn't come up with my parents, and everyone else had their parents there, so I felt kind of weird because they'd take your picture as you were getting on the boat.
Right.
And there's a picture of me standing alone, looking sad. And so I was wandering around trying to talk to people, and then I ended up talking to Lena.
Oh, cool.
And we were like, let's get together and make some demos. And
Yeah. And she came up to Cornish for music as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Except not me. I was doing... the theater.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Do you still like doing theater? I mean, do you do it as a hobby now or what?
Nope.
No?
No.
Not at all?
It's something I loved doing it as a kid, and I did it a lot in high school, and I'd do like rep plays in Monterey and stuff, but I think I just realized that no more.
Yeah?
Especially
yeah.
after going to school for it, and you see people that are much more wrapped up in it than you, or... not as much, but they think they are.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, was that something, because you told me that that you dropped out after a couple of years or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also realized that the classes that I liked the most were my electives, which had nothing to do with my major. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah. It wasn't a bad idea to go there because I met everyone, but I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm definitely glad I left.
Yeah, yeah.
I did have the dropout slump for a few months where I worked at Value Village, and that was a nightmare. nightmare. But then that was right when the band was starting, and then things got a little bit better. So
yeah. Oh man, how was working at Value Village?
Oh, I got a lot of stories.
Do you?
Oh yeah.
Bestow one on us.
Well, this is my favorite one, I guess. I saw this guy eat a spider in front of me one time.
What?
He'd stacked all the receivers that we had in the basement in like a tower. Yeah?
And this was another guy who worked there?
No, he was a customer, and he was tweaking out, and he's really pale and dripping with sweat. And he has baseball cap on, and while he's talking to me, a spider just comes out from underneath the rim of his cap, walks down his face.
So it was just chilling on his head?
Yeah, and then just gingerly walked into his mouth, and he just swallowed it.
What?
I had a lot of people poop their pants. I had a lot of...
It sounds like you're working at like a mental hospital.
A little bit. A little bit, yeah.
Holy shit.
There's a guy with like toddler fetish that would come in all the time.
Oh, no.
And he would say stuff like, "I'm Capitol Hill's oldest toddler." He'd always buy adult diapers and...
Weird. Weird.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
At least you got some stories from that, though. Yeah. Right? Was that like your least favorite job ever?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I worked at Costco.
Oh.
Once when I graduated college, and like I think I've told this story before, but that was like my least. I'm usually pretty like when I have a job, I can totally just be there and work, right? Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't bother me that much. I've never been much of a complainer about my jobs. Right. And like, but this Costco thing, man, was terrible. I was like a box boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the guy that would run and get like a box for you. And then, you know, like put all of your groceries in this box. And there's a lot of people that come in there like, and they wouldn't like the box that I would get for them or something like that, you know, so I'd have to run and get a different box. And meanwhile, like people are just piling up in line, you know. And Costco, like, people are there, they buy a ton of shit.
Yeah.
Right? It's like people who own stores are buying supplies for the store. And
lifetime supply of Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, or like canola oil, you know? And like, and so, yeah, you'd get stuck with these people who, like, they wouldn't like the box. And then you'd put their eggs, like, too close to maybe the windshield wiper fluid or something like that. And so you'd have to, you know, arrange everything how they'd like it, and they'd be yelling at you at the same time. And then this was the worst part. This was the worst part, is that you'd have to help them take all this stuff to their car, right? So after they're already mad at you and, like, look down on you because you're this box boy at Costco, like, you have to walk in silence out to their vehicle.
The walk of shame to the car, yeah.
And then, even this is the part. This is what drove me nuts. It's like after they've, you know, told you that the certain box that they want, you know, they finally got the box that they want. We take it out to their car. They take everything out of the box, put it in their car, and throw the box in the parking lot. Assholes. Man.
Yeah.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Worst job ever.
Yeah.
I was so happy to leave that place. It was terrible.
I'll bet.
But I didn't witness anybody poop their pants
or
eat a spider while they were tweaking. So you've got that on me.
I really miss mopping up piss with a bunch of Simple Green.
Oh, man. Where was this Value Village?
Oh, it was the Capitol Hill one.
Yeah? Yeah. So you get all the crazies.
I also felt like I was turning into a scumbag slowly while I was working there. I'd wear the same leather jacket to work, and I'd wear sunglasses inside, and I was the basement boy, so I never saw sun. So I got even paler and...
Wait, is it like a double level one or something?
What? Yeah, it's like three stories. It's in that old building that used to be like a car manufacturer. So they have a huge elevator in there.
Really?
And it just smells like ages and ages of mothballs and mold. And
right. Yeah. Yeah, that, like, Value Village and Goodwill, like, you can always tell.
Yeah.
It's all got the same smell to it. It's like this musty old smell.
Yeah.
Mothball smell.
And they're all run by terrible people.
Really?
Monsters, yeah.
Really?
Probably shouldn't shop there.
Even at, like, Goodwill?
Even at Goodwill.
I've heard stories.
Yeah, it's just...
Like, it's a huge, huge corporation.
Well, they make a ton of profit off stuff they basically get for free. And
that they get for free,
they
yeah,
say
yeah.
they're giving it back, but then it's more like, we're going to give these moldy sneakers to some starving kid. And
yeah, yeah.
I mean, they make you watch a training video at Value Village where... it cuts to a montage of a bunch of starving kids wearing these like tattered clothes that no one wanted at Value Village, and it's playing Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes by Paul Simon in the background.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
I was like, oh, what am I doing working for these people?
Oh, that's fucking terrible. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, let's, Jesus.
But I did write a lot of the songs on the new record at work while I was working there, because they had a huge old organ down there.
Oh, really?
And my boss was like, hey, maybe as a kitschy camp thing, you can sit down for 10 minutes every day and play, so they know that the guy working here knows how to play the organ, and it's cute. But that turned into more like an hour every day that I'd just play down there.
Really? And you got paid? You got paid just to do that?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. At least you had that, man, to kind of unwind.
Yeah.
Now, do you find that like having something like that like piqued your like artistic ability or like your output?
It could have.
Yeah.
It could have also slowed me down. I can't tell.
I guess you never know, right? Because
yeah.
If you didn't experience it, then you wouldn't, you know, you'd still have songs, I guess.
Well, I guess I'd say it did, because I feel like I write more songs when I'm bummed out or pissed off than when I'm having a good time, because you don't really want to sit down and work on songs when you're off, you know, frolicking in the tulips or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Do you find that, so are you bummed out a lot?
No.
But no. Do you think you write your best stuff when you're kind of under the clouds?
Yeah, maybe. And they don't necessarily become sad songs either.
No.
I don't want to be sitting at the piano going, oh, what is it?
Life sucks.
I don't want to be Morrissey ever.
Hey man, it would probably be pretty good to be Morrissey.
Well, it'd be better to be Robert Smith right now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The Cure is kind of going through like this, like a lot of people really like The Cure now again. You hear it all the time.
That's a good thing.
Yeah?
I think so.
He always just kind of bugged me. Aww. Like I like the music,
mm-hmm.
but him himself, like just looking at him, he just
But if you
makes
watch,
my skin crawl.
You watch interviews with him, and he's just the biggest sweetheart, though. And he's
Is
got
he?
This little smile, and he's totally different when you watch him talk about The Cure's history or stuff like that.
Yeah. Does he still do the weird hair thing?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a bad idea now, because now he's getting a little tubby. He kind of looks kind of looks like Quasimodo.
He does a little bit, right? Yeah. Or something like out of like Edward Scissorhands or something like that.
Except he kind of is Edward Scissorhands.
He is, yeah. He's like Johnny Depp, but he's fatter now.
Yeah.
I guess.
And I feel like that Tim Burton probably based all that off him anyway, I guess.
Yeah, because he was doing that way before Edward Scissorhands
16.
Came out. Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
The Cure is really good, but... Man, I for some reason, every time I just see a picture of him, I get a little bit annoyed.
You have to break something.
Yeah, right. Right.
Well, it's cool. We have the opposites. Whenever I see a picture of him,
inspired and...
I get off.
Well, we're learning a lot about each other right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So when you're growing up... Because we were also talking before we started recording the episode here that you were really into Tiny Tim.
Oh yeah,
as well.
I love Tiny Tim.
You got some pretty eclectic musical tastes. It sounds like.
I guess.
Yeah.
I like Tiny Tim because my mother hates him, and
also that's a good reason to love something. Yeah.
I just love playing that album, God Bless Tiny Tim, in the car whenever I was with my mom. She'd be like, oh, I remember this from back in the 60s, and it drove me crazy. But, I think it's great, man.
Yeah.
There's no one else like him. So.
Yeah. What would you say is your like main influences?
What
has shaped your style of musicality?
I'll just say the Beatles, even though it's like a cop-out, but I don't know. Think about it better. I don't know, right now at least I really like this guy Bill Fay, who's an old songwriter. He did two albums, self-titled, and then another one in 72 or something called Time the Last Persecution, and then his label dropped him. But he's these great lost albums, and I was really excited the other day because I read that that label Dead Oceans are going to put out a new album that he's doing. And he hasn't done any solo record. This is like the first thing he's done in 40 years. That's just him, not with like a group or anything.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for that.
That's pretty cool.
He's a great lyricist, and I really like his stuff.
Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't like turn out to be more of like a Santana.
I don't think he will, because he had 40 years of people turning their backs on him. I don't think it's not like Ray Davies doing an album now.
Yeah.
Like when Ray Davies did See My Friends, the Karaoke Kinks covers with Bon Jovi. Which is sad, because I love Ray Davies.
So that's something that makes your skin crawl a little bit.
When great old rockers become fondue.
Right. Yeah. I've always wondered that too. That's always a really good conversation piece right there. It's like if people like, you know, Kurt Cobain or like Jimi Hendrix were alive today, even like, you know, Janis Joplin, some of the greats from, you know, way back, if they were still alive today, would they be making good music? You know? Because like Eric Clapton, Eric Clapton's like a perfect example, right? Cream was awesome.
Everything else, no.
Yeah, yeah. And then he, you know, and then he gets older and he has kids, and then things kind of go to shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
Or in the 80s when everyone was using MIDI.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But I'm still kind of morbidly fascinated with all the my old heroes, and when they're, whenever they're touring. Like, I really love Donovan, like old Donovan.
Uh-huh.
And I got the chance to see him in 2009, but it was like, whoa, wow, man, what happened to you? it was an Aromatic concert, and he came out, and he's kind of flowing his arms around.
Yeah.
Going, I'm a poet, and I'm going to be feeding all of these scents through the ventilator, and each song is going to have a different aroma.
What?
The song I wrote when I was in Florence, and I'm feeding some frankincense and myrrh into your nostril.
Oh my God.
It's like, oh no.
What the shit?
Yeah, I felt like...
Where was that?
It was in Monterey at the State Theater. Except when he played his old songs by himself, I cried a little bit.
Yeah. Well, see, I mean, when they tap into the old stuff, it's still great.
Yeah.
You know, especially like, since they've been playing those tunes for so long, they're like just so tight.
Yeah.
So when you see like an old artist like that, like even I would love to go see like the Rolling Stones sometime or something like that. Did you really?
Saw them in 2006.
And that would be a really good...
And it was great. Yeah. They were fine. It was
solid concert.
Yeah. Van Morrison opened for them. That was really cool.
Oh man, that would have been rad.
He played some sax.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh man,
it was good.
Yeah, see, and Van Morrison, that's another one too. Like later on in the years, his music started to get really cheesy.
Yeah,
you know.
Except I feel like not as cheesy as some.
Yeah,
but
he was always kind of teetered a little bit on cheesy a little bit. I think
it worked. Like Astral Weeks is one of my favorite albums. Uh-huh. But even there's moments on that album where it's like, whoa. But it's done so well. And,
right. Yeah. Yeah. But I wonder, I still wonder to this day, if like Hendrix was alive today, would he be doing what Santana does? It's like, hey, let's get together with Rob Thomas and write an album.
I don't think so.
No? You don't think so?
I have hope that he wouldn't. I don't think he would do that. I think he would.
You don't know, man.
I don't know. I don't know
Hendrix.
I'm just trying to be optimistic.
Glasses half full kind of guy.
Yes.
I like that. But you're counterbalancing my negativity. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's good to be optimistic. Either, in that case, I want to be, because I don't want to hear, I wouldn't want to hear in an alternate future, Jimi Hendrix and, you know, Billy Joe Armstrong.
Right.
Doing
a collab.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
With a rocking solo on it, though.
Oh, man. With a ton of chorus. Yeah,
totally. Well, hey, let's take another musical, our second musical break here. What should we go with off the new album here, buddy?
You have the EP or the album? Which one?
Let's do the album. Okay. Off the album.
Do you have it in there? How about Tata Dana?
Tata Dana?
Let's do that one.
All right. Yeah. This is Tata Dana by Tomten. And when we get back, we'll have more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ear holes.
Cool.
Stay put. We'll be back.
Vocal modulator.
A pitch shifter, maybe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
But do it all in GarageBand.
Oh, never. Oh. Never. All right, we are back. And that was Tata Dana off of Tomten's latest album, Wednesday Children, which you can get at local record stores here in the Seattle area. Is it a national release?
I think so, yeah.
It's got distribution on this thing?
Burnside's doing the distribution, so it should be in, to my knowledge right now, I know that's in L.A. too.
Oh, okay.
It's at least on the West Coast, and you know, if record stores want to order it, then it could be anywhere.
Yeah, there you go. Talk to your local record store, man.
Go in there and pound the desk and grab him by his gauges and shake him.
I like that. I like that. Grab him by his gauges. I like that.
Grab him by his Prince Albert.
Because you know he's got one. You know he's got one. Well, welcome back, everybody. Hey, okay, so I wanted to talk, let's see, Brian. Brian, how do you say your last name again?
Noyce Watkins.
Noyce Watkins.
Noyce Watkins.
Noyce Watkins. joining us from the band Tomten here in Dining Room Studios for episode 102 of the Air Raid Podcast. I wanted to ask you really quick, what's the significance of the name Tomten?
I got it from a Swedish children's book by Astrid Lindgren called The Tomten and the Fox.
Really?
And it's I didn't pick it for any real significance. I just picked it because I thought it sounded all right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think with any band name, you know, actually I have a theory that there's no such thing as a good band name.
Probably not.
I think if you like the band, then the name kind of becomes good.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I picked it also because that's one of the hardest things. It's harder than writing a song is coming up with a band name that you don't loathe.
Right, right.
But I go back and forth. There's times where I'm like, oh, why did I name the band Tompton? But it stuck and it's fine. I've had, you know, you get Totem sometimes, you get Compton.
Right,
you
right.
You get Tom Tem, which is weird because that's harder to say. A lot of people like to add an M. I think it's just because the M's next to the N on a keyboard.
Right, right. And you just see it really quick. If you just glance at it, it kind of does. I think I thought it was like...
Yeah.
I totally thought it was Totem.
Definitely
when I first saw
before
it.
No,
yeah. Yeah. No, don't get it. God dang it.
Oh, man.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Before we left for the break, we were talking a little bit about where Jimi Hendrix would be right now if he were still alive. But
I think he would still be kicking ass.
He probably would be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
I think so.
We can only hope.
He wouldn't be doing a duet of Yesterday with Jay-Z and Linkin Park like Paul McCartney did at the Grammys in 2006.
I never even saw it.
It's because I...
Maybe I just blocked that memory out.
If you want to hurt yourself, you could watch it.
Go look that up. Go look that up.
It's great.
So, Brian, excuse me. I had to get my Diet Coke fix.
It's okay.
Right there. Let's see. You grew up down in Carmel.
Yes.
Right? Born and raised?
No, I was born in Palo Alto, but that's pretty much like an hour and a half away.
Was your family musical? Like,
no.
Did you grow up around music at all? Or
no, I think it was just that my mom made a really good decision to make me take piano lessons.
Yeah.
When I was eight.
Did you fight it?
At first, but I never really did what I was told to do. I'd make up little songs and bring them to my teacher and go, look at this, I wrote this.
Yeah.
And he was great because he's this charming old guy. He was like, he was the organist at the Carmel Mission. So he could play that huge thing in there. And he's great. And he didn't really mind. Our lessons became more of just a weekly hangout. And playing little duets together and giving me little assignments. So he never like struck me on the wrist with his ruler.
Right, right. It wasn't very structured then.
If my nails were too long when I came to a lesson, he'd clip them for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I need to give him a call when I'm back in town because we need to get tea.
Yeah, I went back to, because I used to take like guitar lessons kind of on and off. It was very, very loose. You know, I never really wanted to learn music theory or anything like that, you know, just always like brought in a song that week that I would want to learn. And then, you know, I wouldn't practice it at all. I'd take a couple chords out of that song and then just work on my own stuff, you know, for that week.
The easy way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I could tell always too, like thinking back on it now, like my guitar instructor was probably really frustrated with me.
Sure.
But I went back to this guitar store, and he was still teaching there. I was in college at the time, and like I had just recorded my first album with my band. You know, it was like the first band that I had ever really been in, and I brought this, like thinking that he would remember who I was. Like I was like, hey, I made this record, and I wanted you to have a copy of it. You know, I was super excited about it and stuff. And he had no idea who I was.
Oh, no. Well, how many students did you have? Like,
Probably hundreds, you know, over the years, too. Like, thousands of students, guitar students, you know, that would come in and out of there. So, yeah. But that was kind of like, oh. And it was so awkward, too. Like, a lot of, like, just standing silence, you know? It was so weird. It was so weird.
He gave you the stone cold look of judgment and...
Well, when he walked up, because I stood there, I remember getting there, and he was doing a lesson when I got there, and so I stood around and I waited for him to get out.
Ooh.
And I was like, you know, he walked out of his little room, and he like looked up and he saw me, and he just like, you know, he nodded and you know walked by.
So then you had to follow him down the hall?
Yeah, so then I followed him into the front of the store, and I was like, hey, Mike Carnes, you know, I'm Aaron Roden. You taught me how to play guitar 10 years ago, and I just wanted to, I recorded my first album. I wanted you to have a copy.
But was he nice about it,
though? Oh, yeah, he was totally nice. Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, but you could tell it was just like
on the ground and put his cigarette out on your face.
He cracked it in half and then threw it at my chest. It was terrible. It was terrible. So you think this guy would know who you are and everything?
Oh, and well, this guy, Edward, my mm-hmm. piano teacher, he only had a few students. It ranged from little kids to, you know, high schoolers to the random 80-year-old women that wanted to learn piano before they died.
Yeah, yeah.
And oh, definitely. I feel bad that I haven't gotten back in touch with them because I've had several chances to. So,
are your parents or your mom still in the area there?
Yeah, they all live down there. I'm gonna go back down and visit in August, and I'm gonna make a point to give him a call.
There you go.
And
there you
go. Actually, I think I was friends with him on Facebook for a while, but then I think he defriended me because I was being lewd or something.
Yeah,
he's very Catholic, so.
Oh, okay.
I might have to go over and have him clip my nails and apologize and say some Hail Marys.
Yeah, yeah.
And kiss his picture of him shaking hands with Pope John Paul.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's awesome.
So were your parents pretty religious? Like, were you part of the church that he was in or something?
He was just, like, the local piano teacher.
Oh, okay.
Actually, my upbringing was very laid back. My parents aren't really anything. I wouldn't even say they're atheists because they just has no, like, imprint on their lives, which is very nice because, I don't know, I think growing up you have several moments when friends of yours are really religious or not at all, and they can try and draw you in. But I've always been pretty... Yeah. I've never had a problem with religion or anything. I kind of hate atheists as much as I hate fundamentalists in some ways.
Right. The pendulum swings both ways.
Don't let it bother you.
Exactly. I've never been in a position where, because I've got a fair number of friends that are very, very anti-religion, mm-hmm. and then I've got a fair number of friends that are still very religious.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I've never felt like people were pushing religion on me. I guess. I've never really got that, you know, from like the far left. Like I've never got that feeling like somebody was pushing their religion on me.
I had a few moments when I was 10 when I hung out with this girl who was a big Baptist, and she mm-hmm. was like, you have to ask Jesus to save you, and if you feel like shit in the morning, then that means you're going to hell. And I remember...
If you feel like shit in the morning?
And I felt like shit in the morning, so... And then I was like, oh, man, I guess I don't want to go to hell, so I just won't believe in this.
Hell is what you make of it, right?
Also, I just think, you know, I've always been respectful unless someone gives me a reason to hate on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Like, I'll go off on certain things. Like, I'll go off on Mars Hill. If someone brings that up, I'll get mad.
Yeah.
But,
And that's what I mean by, like, the pendulum swings, you know, both ways. Because mm-hmm. Mars Hill is, like, super, super, I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of in the crazy zone a little bit. Crazy side of the spectrum.
Definitely.
And no offense if you do go to Mars Hill if you're listening to this. But
no offense. Just get out.
Just get out, man. Get out while you can.
But, you know, you don't want to masturbate because that's gay.
Pride week. Yeah. Oh, man. So what's coming up? What's coming up for Tompton, man? So you guys are going to try to kind of rework some of the stuff.
Yeah, we have we're going to work throughout July. I think a lot of the songs on this record we can easily, you know, reimagine with a trio.
Why don't you try to find a new guitar player? Is that an option for you guys? Or
we thought about it, and we're not totally close to that. I just don't want to feel like a recruiter. You know, I'd rather meet someone and be like, "Hey, this is like a perfect fit." And I think, you know, down the road, that could easily happen. But
yeah,
I'm also I really liked. We went into the studio and did some new demos of new songs I'd written. And it was much more keyboard heavy. So
cool.
It would be kind of cool to just stay a trio and rework the ones on this album and then put together a ton of new ones.
Right on.
And I'm really excited for that because we're going to be recording later in the fall with someone that I think it would be awesome to record with them. And it's not totally...
And this is going to be like producer?
Yeah, the first time we've really had like a producer event. Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't say local guy. It's not, no, actually, San Francisco, but it's not really, it's not solidified yet. Yeah, so I don't want to go, this is happening. And then you read about.
I hate, dude, I've done that so many freaking times on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, you know, we'll have somebody lined up for the next week. Somebody that I'm, like, super excited about. Like, Adam Carolla was supposed to come on a while back.
Oh, yeah.
And they canceled at the last minute.
And then
And I've always, you know, I always, like, get into this zone where I'm like, next week, Adam Carolla, going to be on the show. Everybody tune in. And then it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've learned not to do that.
I feel like I can bring it up as, like, a little tease, though. Because I think it'll happen.
Yeah, yeah.
We just need
you can just say that you're excited about it.
I'm very excited. We just need to figure out scheduling and stuff. And I need to write a ton of songs that I feel comfortable showing to them.
And how many how many albums do you guys have now then?
Well, just two.
You've got two full length.
Except the first one, it's like 9 tracks. But I guess that's still full
length. And it's the self-titled one,
Thompson? That's the self-titled.
I really like that one, too.
You liked it? Oh,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we did that right after we started, so... We did it in 3 days in a house, and then...
you guys recorded it, self-recorded?
Yeah. we recorded with this guy, Jason Gray, who's in the Polyrhythmics. Do you know that band?
I've heard of
them. He's a really nice guy. Yeah. And then our friend, Andy Meyer, who engineered and recorded all this album, mixed it and mastered it for us. So that's why I went with him again on this, because he has this 16-track tape machine, and we were able to use that.
Nice.
And another reason why I love having this on vinyl is because... totally recorded it for that sound.
Yeah.
So if you can, you should not buy it on CD and buy it on vinyl.
Buy it on vinyl. And it comes with a digital download card as well. So you get the best of both worlds.
And a poster with all our ugly mugs on it.
Well, it's fantastic. It sounds really, really good. And I'm stoked for you guys. Now, you guys are also on a label, right? What label are you guys on?
Flatfield Records.
Flatfield? And they're helping you guys out with, like, the recording and everything like that?
Well, we recorded this before we signed with them. And
okay.
We met with them later because they had interest in pressing it. Mm. And it was great timing because we were broke. And they're a great label, and they really... Yeah, they did a great job pressing it and putting us out.
Nice.
Gossip publicist, Chris Esty, who's
one
of my best buddies now. And
he's a local guy, right? He lives here in Seattle?
He used to do publicity for the Black Angels.
Right.
And he did. He used to be a big part of Light in the Attic.
Yeah.
Sweet guy.
Yeah, and, cool, man.
I'm very happy about it.
That's wonderful. So things are looking up for Thompson here.
Yes. Yeah? Even though we have to figure a few things out, it's all right.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. This has been a real pleasure talking with you. And hopefully, once you guys are done with the next record and stuff like that, you guys can pop on by.
I'd love to.
And come back up to Dining Room Studios and chat with me again.
There'll be even more Mellotron this time.
Yeah. Maybe that next time too, we'll put like pitch shifters and stuff on our voices and just make it real weird.
We'll have a talk box.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, have you ever had one of those in your mouth?
I've never tried to use a talk box before. Have you?
It's like having a limp dick in your mouth while you're playing guitar.
Pride Week.
Woohoo!
Explain to me a little bit how that thing works, because I always thought like. Because it plugs into like your guitar or whatever instrument you use, right?
Some pedal, and this runs through the amp, and then
you kind of talk into the tube, right?
All the volume goes through that, so you talk into it, and if you're not, there's like no sound coming out of your guitar. But I haven't used one in many years, and I only used one for 5 minutes.
For me, it looks like it'd just be insanely difficult to like get down, you know?
Yeah.
And then every song you write would just sound like Peter Frampton.
Exactly. Except, have you ever seen the Peter Frampton album, I'm In You?
No.
You should find it. You'll probably find it in a 99-cent bin. But yeah. It's worth it for the cover and the title.
I'm In You. It can't be better than Frampton Comes Alive, man. That cover is just... That picture of him is priceless.
This is him just making dead-eyed focus on you.
Oh, yeah?
And it says, I'm In You. I think it's better.
Yeah, that takes the cake. Okay, I got it. Hey, so let's see. We're gonna go out today with another song off of the new album Wednesday's Children by Tomten. This song is called Springtime in Tangier. Let's pimp your wares here real quick. Where can we find more about the band, upcoming tour, anything like that?
We're going to do a tour in the fall. You can go to www.tomtenmusic.com or find us on Facebook. And you can get the album on iTunes, Amazon, and it's in every local record store around here.
Excellent.
You can get it.
Excellent.
At, you know, all those.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So if you're listening over in Pelotas, Brazil, or over in our listeners over in Europe,
you Bosnia.
Just go, yeah, Bosnia, Yugoslavia, Poland. You can go online and order this album, and you will not be sorry. It is very, very good. This is Springtime in Tangier, and this has been the Air Raid Podcast, episode 102. Please remember, go to iTunes and rate and review the show. It continues to, or helps in continuing to get great guests like Brian on the show. So please go and do that. And visit the all new Air Raid spot on mynorthwest.com. Mynorthwest.com, by the way, just won the 2012 Edward R. Murrow Award for Best Radio Website in the Nation. So go and check that out. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. This is Springtime in Tangier, and we will see you next week. Told you not to call on me again, but I still love you and I miss you too. Come springtime, find me in Tangier, and we'll start anew. Who knows what we'll feel inside, and who knows what a feeling died. It just goes to show life.